You can turn to the 14th chapter of the Gospel of John. That's where we'll be today. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. From henceforth ye know him, and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your blessings. We thank you for all of your answered prayer. We thank you for all of your concern for us and all the blessings that you've given us. We thank you for this word that's before us. And God, we pray that it will comfort our hearts and give us hope, make us look positive into the future, and that we might live for you while we live here. We ask you, Lord, to save souls and change lives, bless your children, meet their every need that they have, and may we give a good testimony for you. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, he starts it off as like a personal revelation of Jesus to comfort your hearts. Let not your heart be troubled. Well, a lot of us have troubled hearts. We worry about a lot of things. And we sometimes pray about a lot of things that we really want an answer to, and we don't get the answer that we wanted. And so he's worried about us, not worried about us. He's giving us this scripture that our hearts would not be troubled, knowing that this is not the end. This part of your life, even when it ends, is not the real part of your life that you're going to have forever. I'm thankful. I don't understand eternal. That's big for me. Eternal, everlasting. Goodness gracious. I don't understand God. I believe him. I believe God. I believe he has been forever and he will be forever. I believe there is one God manifested in three ways, but we sometimes call it the three persons of God. But I don't believe there's three personalities. I think there's one personality, one person exhibited through the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. But what a beautiful thing in that he has come to give us salvation. He has come to give us comfort. And it's what he's doing in this chapter right here. This is one of my favorite chapters. I've read the Bible a lot of times. I concentrated on it when I first got saved, and I haven't changed in that belief that if I would speak the word, God would bless it. He will bless the word. So make the word as plain as I possibly can and as clear as I possibly can. And then God, the Holy Spirit, he'll bless you. And he blesses this word. I'm amazed at different people that I've known that have been saved for just picking up a tract that had been falling on the ground. And then about Marty holding our tract, we went by and knocked on her door and put a tract in the door, that little Four Things God Wants You to Know. And I think it was green then. And three or four years later, she comes in here and comes in. And then she sits right down by Cindy. And Cindy led her to the Lord. And she's still going on for the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, you just never know. You just never know. I'm blessed with this chapter 14. As I said, it's one of my favorite chapters. It's the blessing of God being comforting to his people. And all of these things in this chapter are for your comfort, for your instruction, your comfort. Now, remember where we're at. We're in the book of John where he's dealing with his disciples in a private way. He's not out preaching in the streets. He's not out healing bodies and whatever. He's in the last weeks of his life, and he's teaching these men, and this is what he's teaching them. And so John has given us this. It's something that's very good and very comforting to me. Let not your heart be troubled. If you walk in faith, you will not have too much trouble. If you got a heart, if you can by faith believe what this book says, and in the chapter that I have right here, wow, how much comfort that is. It's a comfort to me, and I think it would be a comfort to you. But being a blessing, I'm going to look at several things that he says. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Faith is the answer. And being that faith is the answer, you need to believe God's word. What did God give us to believe? Well, the testimony of these men that had been with Jesus for 3 years or so, and they are telling you what he did, what he said, and where he was, and whatever like that. And believing their testimony, you come around to the message of salvation through Christ, and it's a gift, not a reward. And that messes with a lot of religion. They just can't see it. They have to earn it. And they can't earn it. You're not good enough. I'm not good enough. I'm not faithful enough. And you're not worthy of heaven. Every one of you needs mercy. Every one of us needs grace. And it's a gift. And so here's a very comforting thing, and I think it's a very comfort, it's to comfort our hearts. Let not your heart be troubled. Now he said, you believe in God. Okay, they were Jews. They had a doctrine of the triune God, who's known as I Am to Moses and to the children of Israel as they came out of Egypt. And so he said, you believe in God, believe also in me. And then here's what he says, that the first thing there, in my Father's house are many mansions. I never was looking for a mansion. I think I got a pretty good mansion right now. It's got running hot and cold running water. It's got electricity. It's got a heater. It's got a covert from the wind and a cover for my car. Didn't get banged on it with the hail that come. I got a nice house. It's a pretty good house. Now, if you've never lived in a third world country, you may not understand how much of that. Some of those people, they don't have hot and cold running water. They don't have a bus even coming to their neighborhood. They don't have a lot of conveniences, and they don't just flick on a little light. I remember one time they passed the thing of water, and I didn't know whether I was supposed to drink it or wash my hands. And you don't know, I drank some sometimes that would give me a lot of troubles. So he says here, in my Father's house, are many, many mansions. Wow. Now, I never did think about wanting a mansion, but it looks like that's where I'm headed. Now, you might be happy with what you got too, but man, it looks like you might be going to a mansion, or maybe many mansions. Wow. I don't know about blessing for you, but it's a blessing for me. God is so rich, he paves heaven with gold. That's what I understand from reading what I've been told. Gold is made, the streets are made of gold. Isn't that something? I go to prepare a place for you. Now, how about that? God thinks about you and ought to be a comfort to you that God's preparing a place for you. And what kind of place it is, well, he describes it several places in the Bible here, but the word mansion gives you the idea that it's a pretty big place and a pretty nice place. Everything's got there for you. He said, if it were not so, now this is a tremendous statement. If it were not so, I would have told you. Do you trust the Bible? I hope you do. I believe this book is the Word of God and it's without error. That doesn't mean I can explain everything in it. It doesn't mean that I understand everything that's in it. I don't. I don't understand about God. I don't understand about DNA. I don't understand about the great big monstrous animals that have evidently lived on this earth. I don't understand things like that. But I believe what God says about it.
Amen.
I don't know whether any of you have ever seen it. I've never actually seen it except in pictures. Some people have went to the trouble to rebuild the ark. Noah's ark. And there's pictures of it on the internet. And I think, wow, I'd love to go see it, except I'd have to walk through it. And I got this right ankle that does not like me walking. God Almighty is preparing a place for me. And God is preparing a place for you. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Here I've gotten down, gotten old, gotten down, and my kids, several of them, have offered for me to live with them and whatever, and I'm just ornery enough to stay at my little mansion that I've got as long as I can. But I appreciate their willingness to take care of me and their help. It's a wonderful thing. A lot of people don't have that. I'm thankful for it. But God is interested in taking care of something. You. That's what he says. That's what this chapter's about. This chapter ought to be a comfort to you. Your future is prepared. And what we do down here is like boot camp. Now, as many of you are have not been in the service, but if you had been in the service, you'd understand what I'm talking about. In boot camp, you are nothing. They're going to rough you up and push you around, and they're going to make you feel like nothing, and you have to obey what they say. And if you were like me, I wasn't used to obeying everything that was said. So you had to really get into it. And if you try to bypass them, they've got ways of bringing you around. But you know, God Almighty has left us some instructions and some things to comfort. It says, let not your heart be troubled. If you could believe what God has said is going to happen to you and how he has prepared for you, you would be comforted. Now, how many people in the world, I don't know about you personally, but I know a lot of people that are worried, worried, worried all the time. And if you watch the news, that will just feed it. Because all you hear is bad news. And the good news is not near as exciting as the bad news. He says, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again. Now, here's another thing that ought to be a comfort to you. Jesus Christ is coming back for you.
Amen.
I don't fear death. In fact, I look forward to it with anticipation. I learned that from Billy Graham. That's a good statement. When he was about 99, he lived to be 99, and they came to him, And they were saying, well, what are you thinking about death? Are you afraid of death or whatever? He said, no, I look forward to it with great anticipation. I'm going to see God face to face. Amen. How about that? It's not a fearful thing. I'm not afraid of hell. I'm not afraid of going to any torment or any pain. I'm going to a place where there's no more tears.
Amen.
Wow. I've shed a few tears in my life. I'm going where there's no more pain. I'm going where my ankle won't be bad. I won't have diabetes, heart trouble. I won't even have to worry about walking wherever, whatever. Hey, he said, I'm going to come for you. And so that's something to look forward to. I prepare a place for you, to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you under myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Where are you going? Where Jesus is. The Lord Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. And he died on the cross of Calvary as the Son of God for the sins of mankind. Many, many of the religious teaching, much of the religious teaching, is that God is going to, it deals with God and his rewards. And salvation is not a reward. It is a gift.
Amen.
And that is all the difference in the world of your religion. I'm not working to get myself saved. I'm saved, and because I'm saved, I work and want to please God.
Amen.
But my salvation does not depend upon that. It's the gift of God, not what works. It's a gift of God because of his love and his grace. And grace means you don't deserve it.
Amen.
Wonderful thing. He says, I'm going to come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. He's got a place for you. And he said, whither I go, you know, and the way you know. And Thomas said unto him, we know not whither thou goest. What are you talking about? We know not whither thou goest. And how can we know the way? You ever been like that? You ever been reading in the Bible and trying to figure things out? Man, there's a lot of things I haven't figured out in this Bible. Mostly about things that deal with Jewish prophecies about different kingdoms and whatever. Some of them are just difficult for me to come up with a clear answer for it. But he said, how can we know the way? And then Jesus gave this tremendous statement. Verse 6, you ought to have this memorized. Where you all could point it out to somebody else.
Yeah.
I am the way.
Yeah.
Now, we looked at the I am statements here a while back, and there's quite a few of them in John. And God told Moses his name was I am. You go to the children of Israel in Egypt and tell them, I am has sent you. Well, now look at this I am. We got three of them here. I am the way. Now, you know what that little word thee means? It's just one. I'm not a way. A lot of people really have a problem with this verse. They don't want to accept it as it is written and as it is given by Jesus to the people. I am the way. That means there's not another way. And I'm sorry for the people who have all the religions around the world and whatever, and all of those that reject Christianity, and there are many religions. There's only one way, because only one person paid for your sins. On the cross of Calvary, Jesus Christ looked down at a thief who probably deserved to die. And that thief said, Lord, remember me when he cometh into your kingdom. And he made a tremendous statement. Today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. Wow. Tremendous statement. Tremendous comfort.
Amen.
Who's the way? Jesus is the way. Religion is not the way. Church is not the way. Baptism is not the way. Good works is not the way. You being the very best you can possibly be is not the way. Can you not recognize within yourself, in all your trying to change things about your life, how many times you fail? How many times you get disappointed, you let yourself down, or you let other people down? You don't make it.
That's right.
You can't do it. Sure, you need to transform your life. You need to change some things. I am so thankful I quit smoking and drinking and cussing and gambling. I am thankful for that. Really am. I was stupid to be in it, the first place. But then I was stupid anyway. And weren't you? Look back at yourself. Do you think God would come down and say, "Oh boy, I want to pick you. You're the best in the county. You're the best in the state. Hey, how about the best in the United States? How about the best in the world?" You're still not good enough. I don't trust myself. I know myself better than that. I trust Jesus. I do believe he made a perfect righteousness, and I believe he planned it that way. Now, I cannot imagine any other religion that's anything like it. Do you? Do you know of any religion where somebody else pays it and gives it to you when you don't deserve it and guarantees you eternal life? Wow. Wow, that's of God.
Amen.
That didn't come out of any human brains or any collection of brains. I am the way. There is no other way. You either come by Christ or you don't make it. If Christ does not pay your debt is not paid. And if you try to pay your debt, you never can. You ought to know that much about yourself. Man, when I quit smoking, I thought I was going to die. Man alive, good night. And I was still in the military, of course, and those guys knew I'd quit smoking, and so they would blow it in my face. All the guys I worked with, and when we could smoke in the lounge and whatever, you know. I'd quit smoking and I'm having nicotine fits. And you know what I did? I had a New Testament and I put a New Testament. I couldn't put it in my top pocket because they wouldn't let us put anything in our top pocket. No telling why. But I put it in my hip pocket. One Christian friend of mine really got upset at me. "You got the Bible in your hip pocket?" Yeah. That's the only place I can carry with me. And I started reading. Every time I wanted to smoke, I'd say, "Oh Lord, oh Lord." And I'd just turn the page. It wasn't about 3 or 4 months, and that little New Testament that was about as thick as my thumb when he started out was about that thick. Grease and oil was all about it because I'm refueling airplanes. But I learned some things. And I would say, "Oh," I'd be having a nicotine fit. These guys are, actually, when they blew it in my face, it actually helped me. It made me mad. I wasn't going to give in. So it sort of gave me a little bit more of an energy, you know, to go ahead and quit smoking. But I would take this New Testament that I could carry in my pocket. And I'd say, "Oh Lord, I'm having a nicotine fit. Help me out." And I'd read a chapter, whatever what I had time to read. Carried it with me all the way. And I read the New Testament many times in the first year that I was saved. And I just about quit reading anything else there for a long time. You know what? God wants to comfort you, and this word can comfort you. You ought to read it. Really. If you wanted to know how good you are, how good are you at reading the Bible? Are you real consistent that you decide I'm going to read three chapters a day, and you do read three chapters a day? And how long do you keep it up? Sort of like the exercycle in your house. Sort of like those weights. You got a bunch of those weights in your house? Well, we see muscles just bulging out all over you. We sort of know what we're talking about, don't we? You couldn't make it to heaven on your own. Aren't you thanking God? Is it a comfort to you that He says, I am the way? He is the way of salvation. And it's not of you. That is genius. That didn't come out of a human brain. That came out of the brain of God Almighty.
Amen.
Wow. You gave it to me free. And I didn't deserve it then, and I don't deserve it now. I am the way. Now let's look at that passage just a little bit further. It's a tremendous passage, actually. The truth. The truth. Not part of the truth. Not some of the truth. This phone. Drive me batty. It probably didn't work. We'll see. How about the truth? You want the truth?
Yes.
I want the truth. In about the ninth grade in school, I decided, just not a religious experience, I just decided to quit lying. Have you ever quit lying? You might ought to try it sometime. It's real hard. Does this dress look good on me? You have a problem with telling lies, don't we? Wow. I like that new haircut you got. It's green or yellow or red. What tickled me about Poland was all these old ladies, they didn't leave gray hair. It was red. It was bright red hair. Purple. My mother was a beautician, and some of the old ladies then, they had blue hair. How about the truth? How about the truth about sin? Wow. How about the truth about salvation? Oh, how about the truth about eternity? How about the truth about religion? The truth about a lot of things. Now, I've had people call me up and say, you're the old man, you ought to know everything, so give me the answer. I don't know. And he said, well, why don't you know? You're the old man. Why don't you know? I said, because it doesn't say. What's my husband doing in heaven right now? I have no clue. Well, you're the old man, you ought to know. No, I don't know. Why? The Bible doesn't tell me what he's doing right now. He might be on cloud nine playing a harp. I'm just not sure. I don't think so. I think he's got a better occupation for us than you've ever had. And you know what? One of the greatest blessings of your life is to have something you do that is something that you enjoy. Gavin, work. I think we're going to work in eternity. I think we're gonna do a lot of praising. Some of you don't like singing, don't like praising, don't like people shouting, hallelujah! You're gonna be really disappointed in heaven. They make a lot of noise up there. When I read the book of Revelation, they make a lot of noise up there. They're saying hallelujah all the time and praise God and glory to God and wow. It's a party. It sounds like a Pentecostal party to me. I am the truth. How about the truth about your body? How about the truth about death? What is death? That's just your body dying. If you are saved, you have the Holy Spirit in you right now. You already have eternal life. Jesus, as we're going to see here in a few minutes or two, is in you. By the Holy Spirit. That's God in you.
Amen.
Wow. Is that something that'll stretch your imagination?
Amen.
Does mine. I'm the truth. Now, how about the life? I am the life. You don't live without God. It's a lot of problem with abortions. I'm against abortions. I don't believe it is a good child control. I mean, birth control. I don't mind birth controls, but I don't believe abortion should be any part of it. Because I believe God has formed that life before it ever begins. And it just bothers the daylights out of me, these people that think it's just nothing. It's not nothing. God predicted about David and Christ and John the Baptist in their mother's womb. And I believe God revealed himself to me, or God made me and he made you, and we're all different. Somebody turn this thing off for me. Have no idea.
Here's me. I'll sit on it.
You can hang on to it. We'll find out the truth about that. I'm the way and I'm the truth. How about the life? You know why you're alive? Because of God. God made man, Adam, and then he made a living soul by breathing into him the breath of life, and you're breathing right now, and you're alive. You know how I know you're alive? You're here. You got up and walked here today. You got up here and drove today. You got up here and dressed and combed your hair, and I hope you took a bath and brushed your teeth. Or else stand a few feet away from me. How about the life? I am the life. All life comes from God. It doesn't come from any place else, and there are no other gods. Where does it say that? God says it in his book. There is no other God. I don't know of any. That's what he says. All those gods are nothing. Are devils. Could be some devils behind things saying. But they're not gods. God says he doesn't know another one. I'm the life. Now here's the statement that really, really upsets some people. No man. How many is that? No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now that is an audacious statement. Jesus Christ is really laying it on the line right there. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. All men are diseased with this thing called sin. And most of that is selfishness, self-centeredness, not thinking of anybody else but yourself and all that you can do, no matter what it happened, what it does to anybody else. Here it is clearly stated and recorded, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If I'm a Christian preacher and I'm preaching the Word of God, I have to believe that, or else I'm not faithful to what is the truth. No man. No man. Not one. How are you going to get to God? On your own? No. You know that's not true. You would even have a problem getting to see the mayor of San Antonio. You'd go through how many underlings you would go through before you would get to see the mayor of San Antonio. How about the president of the United States? No. How about even your congressman? Whatever. And God, how are you going to come up and face God? What right do you have to even demand anything of God? Some of the atheists have done different things. If God, there's a God, let him strike me down now. No, he'll wait around. He'll get around to striking you down. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There is salvation in one place only, no matter how many thousands of religions there are out there. And they are. If you've studied a little bit of religion, you can just really just give up thinking about the ideas of men, like this snake or some other something. God Almighty is a spirit. He's a living soul. He came here, died in our place, paid our debt, and offers us salvation. Wow, that's a beautiful thing. And that's what the Bible says, and what the Bible teaches. Here's what Jesus is teaching to his disciples in the last days of his life on this earth. And it's to them privately, and bless your hearts, they got the message. All of them. Went through their different kinds of lives and in their witness as they spread across the world. And they died faithful. Praise God. All of them except Judas that betrayed him. And verse 7, he said, if ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Now Philip said, wait a minute, Lord, show us the Father and it sufficeth us. He'll be like, now Lord, let us see the Father. Let's see God. And that'll be sufficient. Now, this doesn't blow your mind, I don't know what will. Verse 9, Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me? Philip, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. How sayest thou then, show us the Father? Woo! You want to try to figure something out? Figure out the triune God. Wow. Have I been so long a time with you, you don't know who you're talking to? He that has seen me has seen the Father. I believe there's one God manifested to us in three persons. But the personality of the persons is not different. It's the same God that's there. We just have one God. But what he says right here, he said, haven't you known me, Philip? Haven't you recognized that the Father is in me and I am the Father? Look at verse 10. Believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but of the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Jesus is glorifying God. And when Jesus is glorified, God is glorified. And that's the way he wanted it to be. I am in the Father and the Father in me. The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but of the Father that dwelleth in me, for he doeth the works. Now he said, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. All the miracles that he was doing, and people would fall down and say, man, he's of God for truth. He was able to raise the dead. He was able to stop funerals. He was able to give sight to the blind. And wow, all of these things. He's saying the Father's doing the works through me. That's what he was doing. I'm in the Father and the Father in me. Verily I say unto you, he that believeth on me, The works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. Now, I have a real problem with that. I don't know how we're doing any greater works than what Jesus did or what God has done. But in maybe the sense that they're preaching the gospel around the world today by television, that's bigger than what they did in this day. And you think about someone like Billy Graham. He preached to more people than Jesus did in his life. And so maybe that's the way it was, but I have a hard time understanding that, greater works. Maybe some of the things that we don't know what we're doing and standing up like Job. God Almighty has given us some things to do to bring glory to his name. And it's mighty beautiful. Here's another one that's I don't know quite how to understand. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. I think there has to be some restrictions to that. I've prayed a lot of things that I didn't get. And I thanked God that I didn't get it. Have you ever prayed for something that you look back on and say, I didn't want that really? Sure. Sure you have. Because our wisdom is not up to par. We do not think straight all the time. And the older you get, maybe the less you think straight. Sorry about that, old folks. Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, but that I'll do. I think we'd ask and then I put a condition on that, if it be your will. If it's what you want done. You know what I'm thankful? There's another place in the scriptures. I'm not going to read it right now, but you can hunt it up. It says that the Holy Spirit watches over our prayers and prays for us so that we'd be in the will of God. Isn't that a wonderful blessing? Amen. Tremendous, tremendous blessing. Yeah. If you shall ask anything in my name, I'll do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. Well, now both of those are pretty hard. Keep his commandments. Love, as Jesus is going to teach and has already taught, love each other as I have loved you. Wow. That's setting the bar pretty high. He said, take an example here and love your brothers. And we don't love as much as we ought to because of our selfishness and our self-centeredness. But that's what Jesus told us to do for people to know that we belong to him. I thank the Lord for it. But I'd say you can pray for anything you want. I do. I pray for sometimes some very trivial things. But I ask the Lord, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Sometimes I think he's helped me and sometimes I believe he let me alone. Left me to my own devices. And sometimes I believe he didn't answer because it wasn't a good prayer. And so I have to pray, if it's your will, Lord. Lord, I want this, I want this, I want these things. I think they'd bring honor to your name. I think it'd bring glory. It would be pleasing to me. And yet, Lord, I don't know. I don't know everything. And the older you get, the more you know. That's the truth. That you don't know all that you ought to know in what you do. Well, God Almighty is deciding and teaching his disciples, I want to comfort your hearts by the coming of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will watch over you, hear your prayers that are prayed to, and abide with you forever. Wow. That's a beautiful chapter. God bless you.